Hello, everyone. This is Dave Hebert with the USGS, and today I'm joined on the phone by Mike Field, a marine geologist, chief of the Pacific Coral Reef Project as part of the USGS's Coastal and Marine Geology Program. Mike, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a pleasure for me to do so.
So today we're going to be talking about coral reefs, and these are a beautiful and vital part of the ocean's ecosystems, but they're also facing some serious challenges around the world. So could you start off by giving us an update on the health of coral reefs around the world? You know, what sort of issues are you and other coral reef researchers seeing?
Certainly, Dave. I'm sorry to report that the present status of health of coral reefs is not what we all would like it to be. They are, on a worldwide basis, in serious stage of degradation. They're seriously at risk. A lot of this has to do with human impacts to reefs near and far. So that they're suffering from, as one researcher put it a couple years ago, not from one single thing, but from 1,000 cuts. Everything from people stepping on them to blast fishing and cyanide poisoning in attempt to get fish, overfishing of fish that normally would keep algae from growing too fast and covering up corals. Climate change is certainly a major factor. And then land-based sources of pollution, runoff from watersheds, from construction and housing and agriculture and so on. So every reef everywhere is facing some sort of threat. And those near population centers seem to be faring worse.
Right. In relation to that, I know I've read quite a bit about sedimentation being a problem with reefs. Is that the case?
It is. It's commonly referred to as land-based sources of pollution.
Okay.
So it includes nutrients and pollutants that run off, but by and large, it's sediment that is coming down the hill from areas that have been developed, or areas that have been heavily grazed, or where they've been deforested.
What does the sediment do, or how does it negatively impact the coral?
Well, that's a good question. Corals normally, corals need clear, warm water. They grow by in a symbiotic relationship with microscopic algae that live with inside the tissue of corals, and so they generate food and energy through photosynthesis. They need clear water to do so. As sediment comes into the water and clouds the water, the ability for the animals and the plants to grow is seriously threatened. And if sediment sets on top of them, then it affects recruitment, it affects their ability to produce larvae, and for the larvae to find a place to settle, and as the sediment moves around, it breeds small corals, knocks them off, disrupts them. Larger corals can push the sediment off, remove it with mucus sloughing, but that costs them some energy. They have to do that, then it's energy they can't put into growing or to reproducing.
Okay, thank you. And then what about bleaching? I've heard about coral bleaching. What's actually happening there?
Coral bleaching is on the rise, and that is one of the dramatic and incontrovertible impacts of climate change. As the water heats up in many areas, as the sea surface temperatures rise, the coral expel the microscopic algae that symbiotically produced oxygen for the coral to live. They're expelled. They also produce the color of coral, so when they leave, the coral then is white. It's not actually dead at that point, but without the symbiotic algae, within a few days, they do die. And so massive coral bleaching in 1998, and then again in 2005 in the Caribbean, they're the highest temperatures in the Northern Hemisphere for a long, long time. And so there's very heavy bleaching in the Caribbean then.
Okay. So why are reefs so important ecologically? What's their significance to their environment?
Well, ecologically, they're just a major ecosystem for the world's ocean. The coral reefs occupy somewhere in the order of 0.2% of the oceans, and yet they account for almost all the diversity, the biodiversity. They're 25% of the fish in the ocean that are caught commercially are found on coral reefs. There's a tremendous amount of variation in organisms, and corals themselves are considered a foundation species. That is, that they build these three-dimensional structures that extend for miles and miles in tropical areas, and those structures provide a framework or a habitat for many invertebrates, for many fish, and actually for thousands of species that depend on the structure that the corals produce.
Wow, so you're, I mean, comparing those numbers, the 0.2% versus 25% of fish, you're talking about an incredible concentration of marine life.
It is. It's an incredible concentration, and it's very, very diverse. The common analogy is made is that they are the rainforests of the sea, and that's true. Although they are actually disappearing faster than rainforests are, but they hold the same very high marks of biodiversity.
So what about to human beings? Why are coral reefs important to humans?
Well, we can start with the biodiversity. When we lose species that go extinct, we lose a lot, and we lose things that we don't even know about, and it can translate as potential pharmaceuticals or resistant species that might survive different kinds of climate shifts and so on. So the biodiversity is an important aspect for us, but there's also an economic factor. As I said, 25% of the fish that are caught and used locally or come from coral reef communities. Coral reefs provide a buffer against waves. They protect shorelines. They provide a strong buffer against very large storms and tsunami waves. In the Indian Ocean tsunami, in places that it seemed to have major effect, at places where the reef had been was dead and had been eroded, and so it was lower. So the reefs protect the coastline. They generate sand. They produce sand for the beaches. They produce food for sustainable fishing for local cultures. And, of course, tourism depends an awful lot. And increasingly, nations are interested in trying to recruit ecotourism to their countries. And the value of coral reefs have been valued of numbers ranging from $25,000 to over $270,000 per square kilometer. So they have a tremendous economic importance to local communities.
What are some of the things that can be done to reverse or slow down some of the negative trends we're seeing?
Well, that is a tough question. And I have to be straightforward and say that I think all the scientists that are involved in coral reefs have been working very hard at this. It's a major concern that everybody has, is as we identify these problems, we have to pause and say, now what can be done? What are the solutions to help bring about change? And the problems are both local and global, so the solutions have to be that way as well. So, for example, in an island that is suffering from sediment runoff onto the reefs, actions can be taken both on the land and in the water. On the land, implementing watershed plans, removing invasive species and planting native plants, removing feral animals like goats and pigs that pull out plants by the roots and make the soil more susceptible to erosion. Many things can be done in a watershed, and there are many groups starting to work on this. In the water, most people feel that an appropriate action would be to establish more protected areas, more marine-managed areas. That is, wherever we can lessen the other stresses, limit overfishing, limit runoff from sediment, that the reefs have a better chance to survive. And the global issues, of course, we have to confront climate change, climate warming, and this is a global problem. It requires political will. But at the local level, again, we need to identify coral reefs that have the greatest potential for resilience, and we have to protect them locally from some of these other factors like sediment runoff, overfishing, so that they have the best chance to withstand the problems that are coming into focus from ocean warming and from ocean acidification.
Now, I know you were involved in a USGS publication. I mean, I know you've been involved in several USGS publications on coral reefs, but in particular, really about as close as the USGS will probably get to a coffee table book on some of the issues we've been talking about. Can you tell us a little bit about that publication and then maybe where people can go to learn more?
Sure. That publication is called The Coral Reef of South Molokai, Hawaii, Portrait of a Sediment-Threatened Fringing Reef. And we include a very large group of my colleagues, and researchers, not just in the USGS, but at the University of Hawaii, University of Washington, and other labs of the USGS in Florida and Woodsville, Massachusetts, have been trying to understand patterns of sediment shed from the land and the behavior of this sediment on the reef, and the ultimate fate. How long does it stay there? How does it affect the corals? What makes it move? And what changes do we need to make in order to improve the overall health and condition of the reef? So we embarked on a research program about 10 years ago in which we examined these different aspects and tried to bring it all together in this publication. And the book tries to look at the history of the island. We go back and examine what the natural changes are. If you want to understand what human-induced changes have happened to the reef, you have to understand what natural changes, how do storm waves, how do currents and how do tides, how do these things affect the normal growth of the reef so that you can separate what is human-induced change versus natural change. So we've made an effort to bring all this together, and our goal with the book was to produce a volume that could be used by three different sets of people, and that is the informed layperson on the island of Molokai, people who are interested in protecting the environment, and those that teach children about protecting the environment. We also aim the book at resource managers in Hawaii and other island states and nations. People would have to make decisions about where to establish marine protected areas, for example. And then our third target audience was our colleagues in different disciplines. So the articles about geology, we hope, will be useful for marine biologists. And the articles about algae will be useful for marine geologists and so on. This publication, the publication on the reef of South Molokai, as well as some of our journal publications and a lot more information, are all available at coralreefs.wr.usgs.gov. Or you can do a search using Coral Reefs USGS, and that should take you to our site.
Great. Well, Mike, we really appreciate your time and just giving us this excellent information on the importance and a lot of the challenging issues facing reefs.
Well, you're certainly welcome, Dave. It's been my pleasure.
Great. Thank you. And thanks to all of you out there for listening. To get more USGS podcasts, just go to usgs.gov/podcasts. And for other multimedia, including a lot of great video and images and other audio, go to gallery.usgs.gov. This is a product of the U.S. Geological Survey, Department of the Interior. I'm Dave Hebert, and until next time, thank you so much for listening and have an excellent day.